All right, guys, welcome back. Hey, this is your host, Selwyn Robbins, for the Mandated Podcast Show. Man, it has been a grueling past 2 days, and I'll get into that here shortly about what's been going on, but it's all blessed. Well, real quick, man, I hope everyone has been doing well. It seems like this weather continually wants to do what it wants to do here in the great state of Texas. We are in February, second week, and it's averaging maybe about 40 something degrees each day, which really isn't all that bad, especially compared to more of our northern states. So I'm not complaining. It gets on my nerves, but I'm not complaining. It could be worse, man. So much has been going on around the world, and I'm still prayerful, continuing to stay centered in Christ. It's not always easy when you see craziness going on, but that's the testing of our faith, you know. What's the sense in having faith if it's not going to be put through a trial so that you confirm that you are faithful in Christ? You know, with our world in its current state, you know, many people, as we have seen, can totally lose their mental capacity to deal with any of it and can totally shut down. I remember, you know, years ago, I stopped watching the news. Matter of fact, this was the 10 o'clock news. I started shutting it down because that was the year it seemed like every time a broadcast came on, there was another child kidnapped or a child that was kidnapped was found dead. And I just could not bear it anymore. And I just basically stopped watching it because it seems like it didn't matter what kind of good was going on. There was something that was negative, but it seemed to just overtake the positive that was going on. And honestly, to this day, I really have not paid much attention to the news. I really don't watch a lot of TV for multiple reasons, but I sometimes stay unplugged purposely so I don't get caught up in so much. And I think that honestly gives me a bit of clarity for the world by staying unplugged, right? That's probably something that would have to be discussed at another time. But nonetheless, hey, it is all great. All right. So what I want to speak about today, I want to give y'all probably my second to last update on the inguinal hernia. Today's Friday, and yesterday morning, Thursday the 9th, I had the surgery. And I just want to speak about that whole process and just coming into where I am today as I am recording this, and just speak about how I'm feeling, some of the things I experienced, what I wish I had done prior, and just some things on that line. So yeah, yesterday morning we showed up at 6:30 because the surgery was scheduled for 7:30. So my wife and I, we came in and, you know, checked in. And this is one of the things that I want to definitely say right off the bat on what I wish I had done or knew sooner. So as we were waiting to be called in the back room, we were going over the finances because as we had sat down initially on the intake, we were signing paperwork, which for the most part I had already done online, but we had to go through the payment, and they told me how much it was. It was like $2,300, honestly. I guess after the 70-30 with the insurance, and that wasn't really bad at all. So they give you the option, of course, either to pay it fully or put a half, a third, or a third deposit down and do the rest on payment plans. So I put a third down and we signed up for payment plans on the rest. And as we went to go sit down and waited, we started talking about the finances, and my wife had asked me if I had withdrawn money to cover the surgery. And this is what she was talking about. Because I'm going to be out for some weeks, I'm able to withdraw money from my 401k. So I did so to cover my paycheck, basically. I'll be getting paid, but I want to cover the finances that we may need based off of my paycheck. So I pulled out money for that and some additional things as well, but I didn't include anything for surgery because I figured with my FSA card, and I believe I spoke about this before, That FSA card is something that's set aside at the beginning of every year that you could use for all medical expenses and over-the-counter medicines. So I was looking to use that card, which we did for the third, the down payment of a third. But, you know, of course, we still had a balance. And, you know, just in hindsight, I wish I had kind of guesstimated what I would have owed for the surgery. That way, it's one last financial bill we didn't have to worry about. And it's something, honestly, from my 401k, it was a loan, so you could repay that back. And basically, you're paying yourself back. That's all it is. So there would have been no issue on that. But that's one thing I wish I had done differently, especially, you know, my wife has been such a trooper in this time because, you know, she always has a concern for me. And I try to alleviate some of her concerns by withdrawing money, but I didn't do it correctly. But nonetheless, all that is going to work out. So we're not so stressed about it. So we finally got called to the back, and this was a pleasant experience. Honestly, this was at the Baylor Surgicare in Grapevine, Texas. Staff was great. They really were. So as we're going back to the room, you know, you do your vitals, such as your weight. I get in the room, or the room, I guess they have it where the curtain is slid, you know, to separate the rooms or whatnot, or the beds. So we went in there and I got dressed. You know, you put on that little paper piece of cloth, or I can't remember what they call it, the gown. That's what it is. So I put that on and got on the bed, and my wife and I, you know, we're just waiting. And I believe it was Miss Allison that was doing the intake at that time, just going over some of the information. Taking vitals, things of that nature, paperwork, which there wasn't that much, which is great because, you know, when you're going into something like that, you don't want to be burdened down with any kind of paperwork. So going forward, we had another nurse came in. I'm not sure what her name was, but she was the one that put the IV in my right hand so we could get ready for a surgery. And then I believe she also put on the blood pressure cup. And then I believe Miss Allison also gave me, and this is something that wasn't mentioned when I had my consultation, but it's awesome. It's basically like blood pressure cups for your legs. It's called Circle 8, C-I-R-C-U-L 8 Pro. And what that does, it helps keep the blood flowing and help you not develop blood clots. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. So I had that, and you know, we're talking, and then she does everything that she needs to, and she said, well, Dr. Alassan, he'll be there in about 20 minutes or so. So, you know, during this time, my wife and I, we're silly as it is, so we're just making jokes with one another and just trying to make it through, because, you know, there is anxiety, you know, going through this, especially for me. This was my first surgery ever. There's really nothing ever wrong with me except for a cold, maybe allergies, but other than that, nothing. So I had anxiety. I actually had a little bit of excitement too. I was like, you know, cool, going into surgery, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal, but still, nonetheless, you know, thoughts run through my mind on if I don't wake up, you know, does my wife have all the vital information to contact insurance companies and all that, which she does. And guys, that's one thing to keep in mind. I know if you're going through something like this, you may not think on that lines, but you have to. If something were to go wrong, who's there and how are they going to take care of you, and how are you going to take care of them if you were to pass? So by all means, you know, get with the insurance companies, and make sure you have the right finances set aside. Lord willing, nothing happens. But if something were to happen, that they're taken care of and they can take care of you just as well. So anyway, Dr. Eliason's team came in. He's a cool guy. And his PA, Michelle physician's assistant. I spoke to her actually earlier in the week for the pre-op consultation. There was also Miss Stephanie, one of the nurses, and then Dr. Vu. He is the anesthesiologist, very funny guy. And he was telling me that, you know, once he starts giving me a little bit of medicine and they start wheeling me toward the operating room, I'll begin feeling differently. And that was funny. I'll talk about that shortly. So Dr. Eliason was going through the rundown of the surgery that is going to take an hour, and then the recovery in itself will be an hour. So a total of 2 hours, not bad at all. He also spoke about the pain medication that will be prescribed, and that's hydrocodone. And I've begun taking that, but honestly, it doesn't seem like it's that potent to me. I know it's supposed to be one of the best in the market or on the market, but I can't say I'm really feeling much difference by taking it. But hey, it's only the second day, right? But it's okay. And I think, you know, during that conversation, my wife was saying that she didn't like hydrocodone because of how it made her feel when she had taken it. And the good thing about it, Dr. Eliason said, well, there are also other forms of pain medication as well, or types that can be taken. I was like, you know what? Let's just do the hydrocodone. Let's not even worry about it. It is what it is. So, you know, with everything wrapped up, we begin, or I began to be wheeled down the hallway toward the operating room. So remember what Dr. Vu said, right? So by the time I got to the operating room, turning the corner, I felt the medicine. And I said, Dr. Vu, hey, I'm feeling a little dizzy. And he's like, yep, I told you you would. So mind you, I'm saying this with a little loopiness going on, right? So we then go into the operating room. It's Dr. Vu and Miss Stephanie wheeling me down there. So she opens the door, and I've never been in an operating room before, but it's just like it was, you see it on TV, a big, wide, open room with a surgical bed in the middle, white light shining on everything. And I was like, Dr. Vu, I see the operating table. I'll tell you, I just had to laugh at myself because I was loopy. So I kid you not when I say this. By the time they wheeled me next to the operating bed, that was it. It's like as soon as they stopped the bed, I was out. And then I woke up in the recovery room. Yeah, it's kind of wild. You know, Dr. Vu said, yeah, when you get knocked out, man, all you're going to see is blackness. Look, I'm telling you right now, I didn't see no blackness, no nothing. I was just out, and then I woke up. That was it. I'm telling you, it's scary. But nonetheless, I woke up, got grace and mercy over me and the doctors, because my wife and I, we had prayed that night or that morning, the night before, for everything to go off without a hitch, and it did. So in the recovery room, as I'm coming to, it's my wife and one of the nurses I hadn't seen before. But as she was waking me up, she'd asked me, what do I want to drink to kind of help me keep going, or not keep going, but to help me get awake. So I asked her for a Coke, and man, I sucked that Coke down real quick, but it did help me come to real quick. What happened after that? Yeah, so after that, I mean, it wasn't too long before I got dressed, and or my wife helped me get dressed, and I was wheeled out to the car. Now, it was either Dr. Vu or Dr. Eliason, you know, said I would be a little nauseous afterwards. So as my wife and I came home, she has all the bags in her hand, and I'm getting out and walking behind her, leaning on her, because I was feeling nauseous and a little dizzy. And I kid you not, you know, as we're walking to the apartment, I really could have fell down and just stayed there for a minute, because that's how woozy I was feeling. But my wife was strong. She kept me going. We got inside, and put everything down, and I got to the bedroom and, you know, changed. And for the most part, I've been in the bed ever since. And this is, it's not weird. It's and not even uncomfortable, but it's a different experience because I don't stay in the bed this long. Now, since I've been home, of course, you know, naturally, the natural movement of the body, you have to go to the restroom so often. And I tell you, the pain I felt when I first had to move. Oh my God. I'm telling you, it was like a knife. As I think about it now, it's like a knife was just being stuck on that particular side. And you have to be so gingerly with yourself in the movements. Because, you know, for me, I'm trying to keep in mind, of course, not to move fast because I'm not, but I have to be aware of how I move, because I don't want to have the mesh. That's what they used to close the hole or cover up the hole, was a mesh. I didn't want that affecting me or being disrupted in any way. So it is, you know, moving gingerly. And I tell you, as I was walking to the bathroom, I'm moving slow. And as I get to the restroom to urinate, my body just started shaking or shivering, right? And I don't know what it was, if it's just the side effects from the surgery or if it was just the room being cold. I don't know. But I was feeling that for the most part yesterday, not so much today. Still definitely feeling the pain. And I will say this, don't take it for granted that you're not feeling anything. Don't think that because you don't feel any pain that you can move quicker. Don't do it, because the pain will let you know it's still there. There's a great line in G.I. Jane with Demi Moore and the guy that played on Lord of the Rings. I cannot remember his name, but in basic training, he said, you know, the one thing about pain is that it lets you know you're still alive. And I tell you, I know I'm alive. Because I feel the pain, I really do. But I'm taking it in stride, you know, laughing. My wife has been great. We've been joking. She's truly been serving, you know, bringing the food to me here in the bedroom, because I really don't want to get up and shouldn't need to rest my body. But the other thing, and this is what I also want to tell you about the Circle 8 Pro. Basically, think of like a blood pressure cup that they put on your arm. Think of it as the same thing they put on your legs, but it's not for blood pressure. What it is to keep your blood circulating and to make sure that you do not develop blood clots. Because when they did the surgery, which was laparoscopic, they have to fill you up with air, right? Well, it's CO2, actually. Which we naturally have, but they fill me up with that, and that air has to go somewhere. So sometimes if anything were to happen, that air could get somewhere into your system and develop a clot. And we know those can be so dangerous. You've heard of aneurysms, right? Of course, there are times that they can catch it, develop, and get it out, but that's the danger of blood clots. So I wore it all of yesterday, and it wasn't really uncomfortable wearing it. It's just, you know, of course, it's Velcro attached, and it tends to turn. But that's natural because you're laying down in the bed. Your legs are not still. They're moving, so it will turn. And these, they pulse every minute throughout the night. Now, that was one thing that disallowed me from sleeping well last night, is because my mind kept hearing the pulse. It was and I would hear that throughout the night, so I had to kind of force myself to sleep. So I didn't get the best sleep last night, but it's okay. They said you know, definitely to wear it for 24 hours, which that ended this morning, but I'm going to wear it again probably tonight and the next night as well, just to be precautious about everything. You know, the team was great. They really were. And, oh, this is really what I want to talk about just as well. Prior to surgery, you know, you're working, for my case, I had to take short-term disability and family, FMLA, Family and Medical Leave Act, right? Which is fine. I am. Thank God that I work for a great company that's tied into organizations that have great benefits. But the thing that really was ambiguous to me was how long I would be out in recovery, because, and I thank God for my boss. He was so cool about this, because he had the same surgery, but he had three areas that needed to be dealt with for his hernia. And this was a couple of years ago, so he had the experience and he was sharing it with me over the time. But earlier this week, I want to say it was Wednesday, actually, we were speaking again, and he was just honest. He's like, Selwyn, make sure you take care of yourself. And this is not exactly his words, but this is what he was emphasizing. Make sure you take care of yourself and think about the movements in regards to how long you're going to be out. Think about the movements that you have every day, you know, such as getting into my truck and getting out of my truck, getting out the bed and into the bed. He said, you know, the distance that you walk, because from the parking lot, the back end of the front end of the parking lot to our maintenance shop is a quarter of a mile. So each day I'm walking a half a mile back and forth, right, to my vehicle. So you have to include the walking. You have to think. And also for my particular job, our light duty is not the light duty of many other places, especially, you know, such as, you know, if someone was just working a desk job, they could have the surgery and be back in a short amount of time, right? Because they're just at a desk. But our light duty is not necessarily light duty, because we're still lifting things, right? So that also has to be taken into consideration. So I'm telling you to think about those things just as well, because you don't want to go back to work too soon, put yourself in harm's way in the sense of rupturing or messing up what has just been done through surgery, and then have to go out again. It's always best to take more time than you think, so that you're healing properly. And that's what I'm trying to do. It's going to be hard, but I'm using this time fully. I really am. I think for the most part, that is it. But I just wanted to share my experience with you guys, and I hope this is very helpful. By all means, just to run down through some topics again, you know, always make sure you're in contact with your job, your management, or your direct manager about any kind of injury that you have. Make sure that your insurance is going to, well, your short-term disability, your FMLA is in place. Make sure you communicate with them as often. And this is another thing too. I called to check on something that I saw within one of the documentations about my return time, which I knew was incorrect, but apparently, well, not apparently, I realized that was a date I had put in there because I didn't know how long I was going to be out. But in speaking with one of the reps, they had told me, it's like, oh yeah, we were waiting to find out if your surgery was confirmed. Mind you, no one had called me about that. So I'm glad I called and confirmed the surgery. But the day before, actually later that Wednesday, the rep that has my case called to reconfirm that the surgery was still a go for the following day. And then with her, once again, I reconfirmed the time that it's going to be out. And she told me the time frame that they had given me. So I'm like, okay, yeah, that's way better than, you know, what I was guesstimating, because I didn't know. So as I spoke about this at the beginning, that's one of the most important things, is make sure your recovery date is not so ambiguous that you don't know how long you're going to be out. And once again, it's always better to be out longer than shorter, because you want to make sure that you're returning to work healthy. Whatever the job, whether it's a desk job or more manual labor, you got to take care of yourself and make sure that your body is healed properly, so that you don't have to do this again. The surgery in itself, was, you know, short and simple, you know, for what it is. But, and I thank God once again for my team and my wife. She's a dear. She's been helping me continue to go through. And in that, I have plans for these weeks that I'm going to be out. I'm not wasting this time. And I'll tell you that too. My boss, I asked him what he did while he was out. He said he picked up, not a new language, he had picked up coding. It was a 3D rendering program that he learned while he was out. Now he said, in hindsight, he wished he had picked up something else, but nonetheless, use your time wisely. So that's what I'm doing for myself. I'm taking an online course for Google, which is their Google Project Management. I told him about that. I'm actually getting an iPad so that I can work on the projects that I personally have on deck right now. I have them like in draft mode, but now it's time to start finalizing. I'm looking to publish. I'm not going to go into much detail, but I'm looking to publish something else by the time, actually before I return to work. So I'm always praying. I'm praying and reading and studying. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, one of the pastors, he had just texted me today going to ask if I will be able to minister for him. But I unfortunately had to decline. I hated it because, you know, I definitely loved the brother, but even more so, I love to minister. So unfortunately, I had to turn it down, but he knows I'll be available once I'm back on my feet. So, guys, so many things to think about. And let me say this. Boy, I thought I was going to be finished, but I'm not. For those that are married or have a girlfriend, whatever the case may be, make sure that as you're planning everything out, especially the finances, think about everything that needs to be covered while you're going to be out, right? And also realize that there is a stress to this. You know, when we came home that day after surgery, I knew I was getting into bed and was going to sleep. My wife, she came, you know, of course, she's home with me and she had some things to do as well. But she said, you know what, I'm laying down, taking a break. So later that night, we're talking and she felt bad about laying down, taking a nap because she knows she's got stuff to do. And I told her, I was like, babe, you know what? It's all right because you were under stress. We were both under stress, anxiety about this because, you know, your spouse is going into surgery and, you know, you always have that concern. So I told her, and this is why it was, because she's like, I don't know why I slept like that. She slept long. It was maybe about 3 hours, about 3 hours or so. And she was really disappointed that she slept like that. And I told her, I was like, babe, you were under stress. And it's okay. You needed to lay down because your mind, your body, and your spirit were focused on this one thing compared to when you go to work. You have so many different things that are keeping you active and engaged that you really don't have time to rest. And it may not be stressful in that sense, but this was stressful because there was so much going into it. So that's another thing. Work out with your partner how you guys are going to handle and manage yourselves in this time. It's very important. It really is. So, all right, guys, that is my update on my inguinal hernia. I probably would like to do a video. I wanted to actually document the whole experience either through pictures or video, but I totally forgot about doing so yesterday. So that opportunity is gone, but maybe I'll do a video later on and just sit down and go back over the experience. So just to give some pointers. All right, guys, I love you. Hope everything stays blessed and well. If you have any questions, man, I would love to hear from you. SelwynRobbins@gmail.com. You can hit me up, send a question into the show. Would love to be able to answer it and see what I can do to support you. By all means, guys, make it best for you. All right. Love you.